Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Out of every kindred, tongue, and nation, they came in the book of Revelation. Who are these? Who are these? The angel asked of John, and John was at a loss for words, and the angel answered and said, "These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Praise God. Out of every kindred, every tongue, and every nation, God is moving around this world. He's calling to salvation. He's calling in this last day call. And it's here and it's happening right now. And we have an interest in it and a part in it. Everyone who comes to Jesus because they came to the website and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we preach Christ and Him crucified. We do not deal with tangents. That's the message that saves. That's the message that delivers. That's the message that heals. That's the message that sets free. That's why Paul said, "I don't want to know anything among you save Christ and Him crucified." Hallelujah. Some of you have known about that for years, and you need to get a new handle on it. Praise God. It's exciting to know what Jesus has done for us at the cross. If you have your Bibles, and you'll turn with us for a moment to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. I want to talk about identifying the true church for just a little while out of the book of Revelation, because we need to identify the true church today. And by the way, the true church is not some denomination or organization. There is clear criteria in the Word of God to identify the true church. And I'm trying to get into this message, but there's something that I thought may be the Lord. Wasn't sure that it was, but I believe that it is. One of our services 2 weeks ago, something very powerful happened in your life and some other people that came forward. And there was a scripture quoted at the end of the service. And before we read from Revelation, that scripture was, "In a great house, God's kingdom, God's house, there are many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor, some of gold and of silver, and some of clay and of wood." It said if we would come out from among these, if we would make a real quality commitment to Jesus Christ, we would flee youthful lust and passions in order to follow Jesus. And you have to do that to follow Him. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you can't just go into church. You have to be a follower of Christ. And in order to follow Christ, it begins with denying yourself. That doesn't mean you're going to do without anything. It means you're going to make room for more of God in your life. And I'm going to say it again. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Amen. There's nothing in this world that compares to what Jesus can do in your life. He gives us the living water that He promised. He can satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. And you can quit singing along with the song that says, "I can't get no satisfaction." Can you say amen? You won't be singing that song anymore. You won't even be singing the U2 counterpart that represents our culture. Amen. I've searched here, I've searched there, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Well, I'm here to tell you today I have found what I'm looking for. Can you say amen? And I didn't find it in dead religious ritual. I found it in a living Christ, hallelujah, with whom I have a relationship. Jesus said, and I didn't finish quoting it, to the church that had closed the door on Christ and just practiced their dead religion, "Behold, I stand at the door." Remember, this is a church. Before we take this and use it for the world, we have to take it in the context. It's written, it is the church of Laodicea. Of all places where Jesus should be welcome, it's in the church and the heart of the believer. But He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door, I will come in." Revelation chapter 3 begins with verse 1. "I know thy works. I know that you're not hot or cold. I would that you were hot or cold. But because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Oh, before you stop there and think he's an angry God ready to throw people away, you have to read on. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I don't want to throw you away. I want to wake you up. If any man will open the door. Has anyone ever seen the picture of Jesus knocking on a door? This great painting, representative of that very scripture. If you'll notice closely, there is no doorknob on the outside. It can only be opened on the inside. God will not force his way into your life, but boy, will he knock on the door. Amen. And he doesn't just knock on the door. You know, it's easy to ignore someone just knocking and pretend you're not at home. I remember before I got saved, does anybody remember BC, before Christ? Before I got saved, my dad sent his pastor on us to try to get us in church and get us to come to God. And right after we got married, I had known the Lord, fell away from the Lord, got bitter in my heart when my parents went through a bitter divorce. I got mad at them and mad at him and mad at the world. I got me a BSA motorcycle, a black leather jacket, a switchblade knife, and a homemade blackjack. So I was ready. And I put taps on my shoes on the bottom. And not because I wanted to tap dance, but I wanted to make sure when I walked down the hall that they hear me clipping down the hall, say they'd look out in the hall and see me coming down the hall. I'm bad. When you're short as me, you got to have something going for you. I remember the first day I roared up on my BSA motorcycle. When you had a motorcycle, everybody had them Cushman scooters back then. I had a BSA motorcycle. My man that married my mama, he wanted to get her attention so bad. Boy, I saw my chance. I told him, man, I'd love to have me a motorcycle. I started putting it. He went down to a motorcycle shop with me and bought me an old 1955 BSA. Boy, I got on that bad boy. And when I roared up in my, when I said black leather, it really wasn't leather. I couldn't afford no leather jacket, but it was one of those plastic jackets that looked like leather. But it had them zippers all over it. That was a cool jacket, man. Hey, it took me a long time to figure out that my hairdo was outdated. I had to do some changing along the way. I was old school when old school was cool. Can you say? I remember going into a barber shop to get my trim on my hair. And he said, I haven't seen one of those in a long time. And you know what he called my hairdo? A Hollywood flat top with fender skirts and a duct tape. Hollywood flat top, man, it was flat on the top, but it was long in the front enough to curl over and come down into a peak right here. And then you sweep it back on the sides until it meets in the back. And this is you've got to have expertise. Then you take your comb where it meets and run it straight down, and it folds that hair right into that duct tape. Fender skirts, Hollywood flat top, fender skirts, and a duct tail. I look good coming and going. Can you say amen? I was looking. You know what I'm saying, brother? Amen. But, you know, things change. Things change. That wasn't cool anymore. And so I had to evolve with the changing times. But I remember when I roared up to school on my BSA, and I knew everybody would be looking at me. So I want to make sure they were looking at me, so I revved the engine. See, that's why peacocks. Ladies, I want you to know, you're just beautiful. God made y'all beautiful. You don't need big, beautiful feathers. But in the animal kingdom, it's the male bird. We got red birds living in our backyard. You know, the mama red bird isn't red. But the papa, boy, he red as that shirt, red as that blouse. Because we got to get you ladies' attention. You done got ours. Brother Taylor said, amen. That's a compliment, Rose. Can you say amen? And I remember roaring up on my Harley. That was my dream. This is my BSA. And I roared up on it. Amen. I was Harley minded. But I rode up on my BSA high school sophomore year. I remember revving it up. So everybody would look. But you see, sometime it would flood on me. And so what I, there was a, you could turn off the, I wanted to the little bit of gas that's in the gas line, you're a Harley man. Get that gas out of the gas line, and then, you know, you just open it when you're ready. Because it dripped a little bit. I didn't want to drip and catch fire on my motorcycle. So I come up, I'm revving it. I reach down to turn off, because I'm going to rev it till the gas is gone. I reach down to turn. This is a single-cylinder BSA. And I reach down to turn off my gas line. Well, I'm sitting on it revving it and make sure everybody looking over at me. Amen. I reached down and it didn't have the cover on the spark plug on that single cylinder. And I was so busy looking back to see if the girls was looking back to see if I was looking back to see if they were looking back at me. Amen. That I reached down and grabbed the head of that spark plug while revving the engine up. I got a brand new hairdo. Honestly, I felt the hair on my arms, my neck, my head standing up. My eyes must have glowed red, and I let out a scream, "Woo!" If I ever do that in a service, you know where I learned it. And there went all my style. All it went right out the window. Listen carefully. I think I've got the message. I'm trying to find it. I know God wants to bring people into a place where He can cleanse them so that He can use them. This is the mighty last day harvest that we are involved in right now. And God is moving around this world. This is a worldwide move of the Holy Spirit. We used to talk about it coming someday. The great harvest is coming. The great gathering in is coming. It's not coming anymore. It is here. Right here, right now. Do not judge the church in America by and large. It is not experiencing revival. We've reduced revival to 5 days of designated services with a guest speaker, and we dare to call it revival. That a 5-day service with a guest speaker is a revival. We even have signs up on Sunday morning that says Sunday morning worship from 11 till 12. Worship. Number one, we need to define revival. And number two, we need to redefine worship. Because worship is not sitting in the pew as a non-participant watching the choir sing or even just mouthing the words with them. There's false worship and there's true worship. And true worshipers can only worship God in spirit and in truth. For the Lord seeketh such to worship Him. If you're satisfied with dead religion, you really messed up this morning. Can you say, man, you come to the wrong place. You're listening to the wrong preacher. Amen. If you can sit in that and be happy in that, you're part of the problem. Where sin doth abound, God's grace doth hyperabound, superabound in the Greek. God is ready to seek and to save. God is ready to move by His Holy Spirit. The question are we ready to allow Him to move through us and in us? Can you say amen? In a great house, there's many vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor. But if we will purge ourselves from youthful lust, come out from among these. Amen. The Bible said we will be a vessel sanctified. That means cleansed and set apart for a divine or holy purpose. Everybody say cleansed. Cleansed. Everybody wants an anointing to qualify their calling. It doesn't begin with your it begins with your appointing, but then it doesn't secondary is not the anointing, but the cleansing. For who God calls, He cleanses without exception. Who God calls, He cleanses. I said, who God calls, He cleanses. And whom He cleanses, say that again. Whom He cleanses, He uses. I said, who He cleanses. See, I can't get into this message. Maybe next week we're going to get into the book of Revelation and God is going to talk to us through it. But right now this morning, He's got something else on the agenda. God wants to clean up His church. so He can use His church to be a witness to the world and to reach the world. Can you say amen? And we think we're clean enough. We think we've got enough. We think we know it all. We think we're consecrated enough, dedicated enough. In so many religious circles, we're satisfied to just watch the choir sing, listen to the preacher preach. But Jesus said this, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, its saltiness. Some people talk about the fact that salt creates thirst. And we can make people thirsty for God. But the real context of that, they used salt to preserve meat. They didn't have refrigeration. So they salted it. And that preserved it from putrefying. We are that force here on this planet that is holding back the complete, absolute corruption of the world. Even the Antichrist who wants to come on the scene. The devil wants to get it on right now if he could. But there's something that is holding it back. There's something that is holding it up. Can you say amen? And the Bible said that he can't come into manifestation. I believe he's alive today. I believe we're in that portion of Scripture. But he cannot be manifest until he that letteth, he that allows, is taken out of the way. Can you say amen? We're not talking about the Holy Spirit alone. We're talking about His work in and through the church of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said to His true church, behold, I give you power and authority over all of the power of the devil. Can you say amen? The devil would like to destroy your children and your family, but we have power and we have authority over him in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ today. Woo! We're called a kingdom of priests. We can intercede. We can take and use the authority that is delegated us. And it's the prayers of the saints. It's the intercession of the church that is holding this thing back. Amen. Amen. There are a lot of people that wishes we were not around. One day, they're going to get their wish. But let me tell you something. They're going to miss us when we go. Can you? Because nothing's going to hold back the flood. Can you say amen? Until he that let is taken out of the way, the devil and all his cohorts, all of his minions, all of his evil schemes and plans can't be manifest until he that let. Amen. God is still in control. Make no mistake about it. God is still in control. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is the last of the last days. And if you want to keep coming here, you're going to hear about it. Out of the Bible, all through it, and particularly in the book of Revelation. The more I get into the book of Revelation, the more I have the realization that Jesus is coming right on schedule. He may not be here when you want him, but he'll always be right on time. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when this gospel of the kingdom is preached, not any gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom of God, and we're going to explain that to you, is preached to the nations of the world, then shall the end come. There's certain signs that point toward the end, but Jesus himself said, but the end is not yet. But there are certain circumstances, he said, it's so close, it's even at the doors. When you see these things, you know it's so close, it's even at the doors. Can you say amen? I believe we're that close. And that's why this mighty move of God, and God is using people that never dreamed that they could even know him in that relationship of full reconciliation and fellowship. But the blood of Jesus is more powerful than any sin that anyone has ever committed. And when it's applied to that life and that heart, it washes away every stain. And not only the sin stain, but it sets the captive free from the prison house that Satan holds them captive to. There's no habit that he won't break. There's no sin that he can't forgive except not asking forgiveness for it. We'll talk about the unpardonable sin. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for it. Intercession does no good in that circumstance. It needs to be explained. We need to talk about the real issues. But right now here today, I want you to know that everyone in this room that knows Christ is your Savior. You're a candidate for God to cleanse you and then use you. Jesus said in John 15 about fruit bearing, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that bears fruit, what's he do? Pat it and say, oh, what a good little branch. No, he purges it. Amen. We're getting ready to go into spring, from winter to spring. And you know what people are going to do? They're going to go out where the dead limbs are, particularly up north, and they're going to purge those plants. They're not going to hurt them. They're going to take away the dead so that the new can come. The fruit can come. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I want to be in a church where God can purge me. I want to be where I hear the truth on Sunday. I don't want to be where I'm petted. I want to be where I'm purged. Why? Because I want to be a vessel that God can use. Can you say amen? Whom he calls, he always cleanses. That's why the Bible said the Lord God sanctify you holy. It leaves you H-O-L-Y, but it takes the whole of your being, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus said in that fruit-bearing scripture, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. The church that he's calling out from among religious, world religions, and even the Christian faith that has failed the faith. He said Christ loved the church in the book of Ephesians, and he gave himself for it that he might cleanse it. With everybody say, cleanse it. Hallelujah. God is interested in sanctifying us. Can you say amen? Cleansing us, setting us apart for a holy purpose. He cleansed it with what? The washing of water by the word. Initially, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus of our sins. But there's a progressive cleansing that continues. There's a perfect righteousness positionally when we're saved. We're right with God. But there's a personal righteousness that's progressive as we walk with him and we follow him day by day. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said the grace of God that has appeared to all men, teaching us that we should live righteously and godly in this present world. Can you say amen? Grace is not to cover up for our sin. It's to set us free. To live for him and to follow him. So God is calling a people from a people. And this is the great call of God today. The great call of God. Whole church denominations are going into compromise. But God is calling a people. When the Bible said, come out from among them, we initially only see the world. This is not just about the world. This is about the apostate church as well. Come out from among them. If you're serious about following Jesus, come out from among them who are not serious about following Jesus or don't want Jesus. You say, Pastor, will I have to give up my flaky friends if I follow Jesus? No. Just follow Jesus and they'll dump you. Amen. Then you say amen. They'll dump you. And if they can't handle you being a Christian, they're not a true friend. Thank you for the hearty amen. We don't go with the flow no more. Somebody look at somebody and say, we don't go with the flow no more. Oh, some of you had a little struggle with that. Amen. Maybe you can't say it yet. You need to be able to say it. Amen. You need to take sides this morning. You need to stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Can you say amen? Stand up in your home. Stand up at work. Stand up on your job. Stand up. I want to be like those two bulls. Two bulls had the run of the pasture. They brought in a great big prize bull, 1,500 pounds and nothing but muscle. He was a rip snorting, big old horns, red eyes. They brought him to the pasture. He was twice as big as either one of those bulls. Their eyes got big and they saw him coming. He's the bull of the woods, man. He's the big boy. They brought him up in a big old trailer. They let him out. He walked out of that trailer, looked all over that pasture, started snorting out his nose and pawing at the ground. Boy, one of those young bulls, when he started snorting, pawing at the ground too. The other bull looked at him and said, "You ain't going to stand up to him, are you?" He said, "Oh no, I'm just making sure he knows I'm not a cow." Got to clarify some things sometimes. Can you say amen? Some things need clarification. Amen? Sometimes you got to identify. Sometimes you got to represent. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I represent a different king. I represent a different kingdom. Hallelujah. Go ahead and persecute me for following Jesus. When he comes, I want to be identified with him and not them. Ecclesia is the word for church. Church today means stonework, mortar, steeples, and stained glass. It means organizations and denominations. The word church in the Greek in the New Testament is the word ecclesia. And it means called out ones. Say it with me. Called out ones. Whew. They that were with him, maybe next week. The book of Revelation, there's a false church. It's ecclesiastical Babylon. It's found in the book of Revelation. Amen. And there's a great battle between the true Jesus and those that he has called. And that false religion that's going to encompass the world before it's over. Amen. And he said, and they that were with him were called. They were chosen. And they were faithful. Can you say, man, I want to be part of those who have not only been called but responded to that call and are being faithful to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Can you say, man? How many believe if you're going to be a Christian, you need to be counted right now? You need to make sure you don't have divided loyalties. That Jesus is worth your commitment. That taking up his cross is an honor. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. We used to sing it in old camp meeting songs. Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Every branch that bears fruit, he lets it alone, pets it, comforts it. No, he purges it. That it might be what? That it might bring forth more fruit. He said, I've spoken these things unto you that my joy be in you, so that your joy might remain, and that you go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit remain. That it is consistent. It's not one of these little flare-ups of spirituality that just fizzles out in a few days. This is something God wants to establish in the heart of those that will allow him. But it begins with a calling, and the second thing is cleansing. Have you noticed if you have made a commitment to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in a service? And you say, that preacher been reading my mail. I don't have to read your mail. God read your mail. Listen, the Bible said there's nothing, zero zilch, hid from the eyes of him. And he looks past me, you, he looks past all whatever we're persona we're projecting. You know where he looks? He looks right dead into the heart. Amen. And he knows if I'm phony or not. Amen. You're still trying to figure it out. Don't you amen that? No, I'm just kidding. Nobody knows for sure anymore. Look at all the people we thought were okay and they were not okay. I'm not questioning maybe their Christian, initial Christian faith, but they certainly were not following Jesus and they were Christian leaders. Qualification of a Christian leader is to follow Christ. Not being a lord over God's heritage, but an example to the flock. Can you say amen? So in this great time of In fact, that was the scripture that I quoted, Revelation 17, 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. And by the way, this war has begun now. It's going to culminate at Armageddon, but it's already started. You know what the Bible says to you and I? Put on the whole armor of God. Get ready for battle. You're in a war. You're in a war. The Bible said endure hardness as a what? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he might be a good soldier to him that called him. They that were with him were called. They were chosen. And they were faithful. Can you say amen? And those three characteristics qualify the true church from the false, because this whole chapter is about ecclesiastical Babylon, a world church and a false prophet. And you know what the Bible calls the covenant people in the Old Testament? God is always husband to Israel by covenant. They're always the wife. And when she goes after other gods, she is called a harlot. She's called unfaithful. But when he restored her, he said, your name shall no more be called Forsaken, but thy name shall be called Beulah. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard that song, Beulah Land? Beulah Land? What does Beulah mean? Is it just a name given to a woman? No, Beulah means married in the Hebrew. When you come back to me, he said, I'm coming back to you. Can you say amen? And your name shall no more be called Forsaken. It shall be called Beulah. It shall be called Married. For the Lord hath delight in you. When we repent, God forgives so completely that he not only accepts us back, he forgets our sin and delights in us. Woo! Can you imagine? God is using people that never dreamed they would be used, because they answered the call to salvation and they allowed him to cleanse them. Whom God calls, he cleanses. And whom he cleanses, he uses. I thank God when I first got saved, amen, I answered the call and the cleansing began. I went to a church that the word was preached. Nobody looked to see how I was receiving it. It wasn't about whether I was going to applaud or come back or give money. It was about, amen, this process, cleansing. I found myself, this guy right here, when God began to call him and he answered the call to salvation, the cleansing began. Service would be over. We're ready to lock up. We don't see Mike anywhere. So we go looking for Mike, because we can't shut the door till he's gone. His grandma's still here. That's his ride. Back then, when he was a very young man, we looked around between the pews. We were looking for Mike, because somewhere, many times, down between the pews, on his face before Almighty God, there he was. What was he doing down there? Hey, amen. Everybody's looking at their watch after 45 minutes. Can't wait to get out of the building. We got places to go and people to see on the Lord's day. Can you say amen? Come on, we got... Oh, come on, church. Yeah, this ain't the Lord's day. He gets the little convenient corner in America. But when you get an MS report, you don't want him in the little corner. You don't want him standing somewhere in the shadows. You want him to come and help you and deliver you and be God to you. God better get it on. God better get it over with, because we got places to go. People to see. Flesh to indulge. One of our reputations is that I preach too loud. You're going to need earplugs when you get to heaven. In fact, you're going to need them when Jesus comes. The first thing's going to happen is a trumpet's going to sound. And it's going to sound so loud that it wakes up the dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, I just thought I'd run that by you. The Word of God to me is my food. It's what I feast on. Because I'm hungry for righteousness. I'm thirsty for righteousness. And The Bible said blessed, which means happy to be envied, is someone with that hunger and thirst. Because there's a promise from God. I'm going to fill them. If you can't wait to get out of here, God can't fill you with anything because you're too full of yourself right now. But if you dare to deny yourself to serve Him, take up your cross and commit to follow Him, amen, He's going to fill you up and He's going to run you over. Can you say that? He's going to clean you up so He can fill you up. Hallelujah. And it's when you start running over that other people are going to take notice of the God that you serve. And ask you for a reason of the hope that's in you. You say, Brother Bimbo, that word is hitting me this morning. No, it's cleansing you. It's not hurting you. It's cleansing you if you will let it. If you won't let it, then hunt a church where there's no cleansing message. Nothing to purge you. Nothing to convict you. But don't expect God to be able to use you at all. You will blend so well with the world. They won't question you for your faith. Because when you're out of church or a house with a steeple on it called church, you're just like them. Your values are the same. Your jokes are as off color. The life you live, you're ogling, you know, the construction worker cliche. You know, see the lady in the short shorts, I'm in love. I think I'm in love. I hope what you got in your marriage goes beyond that kind of love. It's just nothing more than lust. And it won't hold you together. But true love will hold you to God and hold you to each other. Can you say, man, if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. And they won't make him look so sad. Like I'm depriving myself of sin. Oh, poor me. Not when He fills you up. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Not when He fills you up. And runs you over. Who God calls, and you have to be called to come to Christ. Big misconception is when I sow all my wild oats, have all the sin I can enjoy, when I'm old and I'm gray and my legs don't work, among other things. Then I might consider my soul because I'm getting near knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Then, when sin isn't as much fun or I'm not capable of sinning like I used to, then maybe I'll get serious about Jesus. You can't come when you decide to come. No man comes to me except my Father draw him. This today, not next month, next year, when I have a convenient season, but when God calls me by His Spirit, this is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Can you say that? Four college guys doing the right thing, not doing something stupid, but doing the right thing in the right lane on the interstate. A guy comes up on the wrong lane. Hits them dead on. And four young souls go into eternity. And there was no opportunity. They're going to live somewhere forever. And there is no opportunity after your spirit leaves your body. Now, this is the day. Now is the time. Because nobody guarantees you're going to make it home from this church. God doesn't guarantee it. A man can't guarantee it. And you'd be foolish to think that it couldn't happen to you. So you have to make up your mind about this call of God, this cross of Christ, this blood that was shed so you could be saved. And you have to make your calling and your election sure, because it's your soul. It's your soul. It's your soul that's on the line. Can you say amen? The devil don't want you to know that. But God, amen, will talk to you clearly. Not because He's trying to hurt you. He's trying to shake you into a reality and say, I love you too much to let you go and let you alone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Say, Brother Venable, I've had people pay me a high compliment. Can I tell you what it is? The reason I don't go to Brother Venable's church is I knew when I went there, I would be convicted. By the way, they still don't come. At least they're honest about it. It's not that they don't go to church. They just don't go whether they're challenged or convicted. They can be comfortable without God. I tell you, if a church is a church, and the Holy Spirit's able to move there. The Bible said when He comes, He's not just going to give you a liver shiver on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? When He comes, He will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Can you say amen? That word convince is the Greek word convict. He will squeeze your heart and say, if you die right now, you're lost. But if you come to me, I'll save you right here and right now. And you don't have to worry about eternity if you'll just come to me. He'll convince the world of sin. I love conviction. I want it. I embrace it because I want to be right with God. David opened his heart after he failed so bad, messed up so bad, he didn't want it to happen again. He said, search me. I want God to look right down inside of me and see all that stuff that I need to deal with. Search me and see if there's an unclean way in me. Amen. I want you to bring it to the surface. I want to get it skimmed off. I want something pure in me. Something that won't lead me to sin and destruction anymore. Hallelujah. Not cause me any more pain and heartache. I want the cleansing. Have you been to Jesus for the what? The cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting this very hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Can you say amen? Would you or evil a victory win? There's not power in you, but there's power in the blood. And there's power in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who He calls, He cleanses. If you're sitting in a church where you're not challenged, God can't cleanse you, and you won't even, you'll say, I'm fine. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be convicted. And God says in a great house, there's a whole lot of vessels. Some of them are honorable and some to dishonor. But if you will purge yourself from these, if you will come to me for cleansing, I'll set you apart unto myself. And you shall be what? A vessel of honor. Sanctified, the Greek, cleansed and set apart. Not just so you can be holier than thou, but so you can be useful to Him. Amen. And a blessing to those about you. Yeah. You can point them to Christ. You can show them the way. Whom God calls, He cleanses. Whom He cleanses, He uses. Thou shalt be a vessel of honor, sanctified, cleansed, and set apart for a holy purpose. Meat. That means requisite. Remember when Eve was brought to Adam? Said how, we always call it one word, a help meat. It's not a help meat. It's a help meat for him. Made for him. Just right. To fulfill every need that he would have, and he fulfilled every need that she would have. A help, meet, requisite for him. And we shall be vessels of honor, meet for the. Brother Taylor, when God called you to salvation and then he called you to preach, what happened? Did he begin to cleanse some things in your life? Man, I had some records, and every time I put on those records, that big collection, I was into Janis Joplin. Jimi Hendrix, you know, the hard stuff, psychedelic, all the whole, you know, it, game on. When I got saved, you know, I thought, boy, I still got my big old record collection. But every time I put on certain records, it pointed me right back to that sinful past to remind me those scenes of sinful practices are being replayed, and I could feel the pull. And the Lord said, well, you know, you can fix that. I said, I can. He said, yeah, you can get rid of it. oh, I didn't necessarily want to. I got a big investment here. This is vinyl. Now it's worth something. Big. We were poor, broken. Yeah. All those albums. Did you know everybody, we had a young people's move at our church years ago when we were in Sulphur Springs. And everybody brought their pornographic materials to church. We were going to have a bonfire and burn them, just like they did in the book of Acts with all the black. I'm going to tell you something. Them magazines are hard to burn. I'm serious. We put them in a wheelbarrow. I put lighter fluid on. Pages flopping open in the wind. Say, oh, Lord in heaven, we got to put gas on this thing. We put gas on it. It flamed up and looked like it was. You know something? You dig down a little bit and they still hadn't burned. And I thought, I can't go in there pulling the pages. I took them things and put them in a plastic bags and put them in a dumpster and let the garbage collector come and take them where they ought to go, because they'll pull you. Listen, friend, pornography is addictive as many of the drugs out there. And it'll hook you. And it's hooked ministers today. And it's ruined marriages, because what people said, oh, you can look but not touch, honey. What you're looking at is leading you somewhere. You can't keep looking. Go ask David. This is a gate. This is a gate. Your eye is a gate. And it opens the door. That's why Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a maid. Hey, you can't help but see women. God made them beautiful. Ladies, we notice you. You do not have to enhance yourself sexually. Take it from all us men. And every man in here said, amen. Amen. God just, he made you beautiful. He made us with desire, and you don't have to put that on. Say it, sister. You don't have to put that on. I mean, I like Beyonce. She's a great singer, but you don't have to put that on. Can you say you just don't? You might have to do it to succeed in Hollywood, but we ain't in Hollywood right now. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're not talking about the world and its system and values. We're talking about Christ and his kingdom. God cleanses. I came back from Haiti and I went through nervous exhaustion because I pushed too hard. I brought it on myself. But I had brought back some things sculpted out of, it was fruit. Fruit, bananas and grapes that had been sculpted out of that wood, ebony wood, that is beautiful artwork. I brought it back, mahogany, yeah. Brought it back and it was colorful and I had it on the wall. Man, when I went through that, I thought, maybe this guy that sculpted that is going out and getting involved in voodoo with that. So I just took it off the wall. You did that. We went through a house and we just said, if you got a foothold here, we're going to fix that. We're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. Did you miss them? No. Did I have to get rid of them? Probably not. But I just wanted to make sure that the enemy didn't get a foothold. Can you say, man, of fear somewhere in me? Praise God. What are you telling me? You're telling me that it's a work salvation? No, I'm telling you, when you get really saved, there's some corresponding actions that follow that event. For if any man be in Christ, he's not an old sinner under Satan's control and governed totally by the flesh anymore. He's a new creation, and all things are passed away, and everything has become new. When you're baptized in water, it is representative of an old man that is dead. Reckon him to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Amen. And he's raised up to do what? Sit in church and live in sin and be bound by Satan. No, he's raised up to walk in the newness of life, in a freedom, a liberty, a peace, and a joy, and a victory. Amen. Hallelujah. So whom God calls, he cleanses. And whom He cleanses, He uses. And since we're in the last day harvest, God is looking for someone that He can save, sanctify, qualify, and begin to use. Hallelujah. That your life touch another life for Jesus Christ. Somehow, in some way, because you're not just like them, you're becoming more like Him. That's not self-righteous. It's just being a genuine Christian instead of a phony. Some people won't come to Christ because they say, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I can't live it, so I'm not going to play church. Thank God for your honesty. But here's the deal. God doesn't expect you to live it in the strength of your flesh and your commitment. John said, as many as received Him, answered the call, to them gave He the power to become what you can never become in yourself, to become the sons of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It begins with receiving Him just like you are, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Somebody has been called to salvation, and now the cleansing has begun. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. Open your heart and open your life. Can you say amen? Because whoever He cleanses, He uses for His honor and His glory. You'll be like a city set on a hill. You won't have to try. You can't be hid. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, God calls people that never dreamed that they would ever be saved. God calls them then to minister that they never dreamed that they would be ministering. And God uses people that He cleanses. And they're not theologians from seminaries all the time. Fact is, most of them are not. But they've been anointed of the Holy Spirit because they made room for God in their life. And God filled that vacuum with His Spirit and with Himself. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Some people get a call and they just want to go preach. And they don't allow God to purge them. And by the way, it continues throughout your lifetime. God is still working on me. He's still purging me. I still get convicted. Amen. And God still says, son, do this. Son, that's going to lead you away. Son, and I want that. I need that. Can you say, I've come too far to play church now. The coming of the Lord is too near. I want to be identified with Jesus and not the world about me. So we're going to have a testimony in closing, and we're going to ask a very important question in this room. If you are not a Christian, God's going to call you. He's calling you now. And if you are a Christian, He's calling you to come out from among them to follow Him. You're called out. If you're part of the church, it's not a building or organization or a denomination. The ecclesia are the called out ones. Can't serve God and mammon. Can't love the world and love Christ. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father does not dwell within him. Church won't change that. Only that can only happen in the heart. We got a lot of hits from London. This particular testimony is a man from Newcastle, England. His name is Dougie March. He was in 7 different prisons for he was a violent offender. He always went to jail not for petty theft, but for doing something that his anger and his violence, he was part of the gang culture. Something happened to Dougie March. God called him to salvation. See, God don't care where you've been. He cares about where you're going. And that's why He doesn't look at where you've been, but where you're going to go from right here when He calls. And Dougie decided, I'm going to follow you. And he let God cleanse him. And he answered the call. And then God called him to minister. and to use him. And I love his testimony. Is it all right to have a shared testimony just before we quit? If you have to go, you may. We're not as structured as many churches, and you are on schedules, and we will not take offense if you have to go at this time. This takes just a few moments. God's going to call somebody. He's cleansing all of us today. Hallelujah.
Well, the strangest thing happened to us today. So I can't even remember who it was, but he said, somebody said, "Oh, you're from Newcastle, do you speak English?" I said, "Well, I can try, you know." This is me posh voice.
No, we're not.
Yeah. You know, there's only two good football teams in the northeast of England, Newcastle United and Newcastle United Reserves. Why are they playing so badly? I've been a Christian for 21 years, and I'm just going to quickly tell you how I got saved. I want to really major on the second part, because I think it's important, because as I've come across Christians in my travels, I seem to meet Christians who get stuck from, they're saved, but what is the will of God for their life? And I find that when people backslide, it's often because they haven't got something that they can really get into and own and say, this is what the Lord's called me to do. So, in a nutshell, I'm from Biker in the east end of Newcastle, and I think I was about 30 till I really realised it's against the law to hit somebody. You know, because that was what you did when you argued with someone. If you're losing the argument, you hit them. So, then, but by that time, I'd been in seven prisons by the time I discovered it was wrong. And, so I've been in Brixton, and I've been in a few prisons. And the thing that shocked me about prison was I expected to see loads of heroes, like, you know, good cons, you know, good decent cons. And I found loads of people in the war. They were kind of, you know, when you got your meal, if you didn't eat it straight away and you went to do something else, you'd come back and there'd be a sausage missing. So I had three fights in the first week that I was in prison. I got put in the prison within the prison. So I lived a violent life, and you know, violence is—it's not glamorous. You know, when you're really in it, it can overtake your life. You can get killed by it. You can get maimed, and I've been in like a lot of violent situations, and it's only by the grace of God that I'm still here. You know, when I became a Christian, God took the violence out of us. But he still gave us a violent spirit against the devil. Hallelujah. You know, it's being violent for the right things. Yes. You know, Jesus was violent against evil when he turned the tables over. And so God sort of took the wrong type of violence and made it and turned it into a kind of zeal. So when I got saved, you know, I'm not really going to go there because there's not really that much time. But God sent two girls on the street to talk to us, and they took us to church, and then I got saved. And when I got saved, I knew I was called to preach the gospel. I was called to go out there and tell people about Jesus, because it made such a difference to me. And I was violent, I was a womanizer, I was in a drug dealing gang, I was up to everything. I was like, you know, in a grown-up body, one of these nosy kids. I don't know if you've ever seen gypsy kids, but when they see you, they're kind of looking at you and seeing if you've got anything, you know. And I was like that as an adult. I used to go to parties and go prowling in the fridge and go prowling around the house and chat people's mothers up and things like that. Crazy. And then, you know, I'd get into fights with the neighbours, and it was all crazy. But when Jesus saved us, I kind of knew that there was people still like that out there, and somebody had to tell them. So God called us to preach the gospel on the streets, which I've done, and I've been to 38 countries around the world. And God is a provider, and God does make divine appointments, and I have them like all the time. To me, it's just normal now. I don't kind of get as amazed as I used to. Wow, I better phone people. The divine appointment. I just say, thank you, Lord. And I just get on with it. And I'm here by a divine appointment. But as I've went round the world, you know, the gospel works. People do get saved. It might not be as fast as we want them to get saved. I mean, it took me 30 years. Yet I want people to get saved, like, just because they've heard me preach once on the street corner. I'm like, well, come on, then get saved. It took me 30 years. And I'm like, what's wrong with these people, Lord? So we've got to be patient. We've got to sow seeds and water these seeds and love people. But if you've got enough contacts, you know, with people out there, eventually that one's going to be ready. This one's nearly ready to get saved. This one's got saved, and this one's just heard the gospel for the first time, so he might have a bit longer to go. But I've seen God doing amazing things. I was in Africa, and I'd been out there for 5 months, and when I got back, somebody thought that I was going to go. So he started the lectures and said, well, Dougie, you know, when you go out to Africa, it's best to just go out for a couple of weeks, you know, to get it. And then the next time, maybe go up for 3 weeks. And I've just come back. I've been out there for 5 months. I was like, okay, brother, you know, the lecture not needed. The guy I went out with, we were debating about malaria tablets. And he said, you've got the strong type in the... Well, I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I was giving it like, tell us about it, you know. Malaria tablet. You've got the strong type and the weak type. So I'm like, right, strong type, weak type. And he goes, the strong type, if you have a certain disposition, sometimes gives you funny dreams. So I'm like, funny dreams, the strong type. And the weak type, that's kind of weak. And if you take the weak type, you might catch malaria because they're kind of weak. So he goes, so what type do you want to take, Dougie? Oh, it's like being back in school. And then he said, tell us it again. I went, no, I says, well, because the Holy Spirit quickens you. Now, thick people can suddenly have intelligence from God. You know what I mean? It's a quickening. It's a quickening, isn't it? The Holy Spirit quickens you. So I just went, well, I'm going to take a strong type and I'm going to rebuke the side effects. So what happened? So I went out there and never had any funny dreams. I should have told him I have funny dreams anyway. I had less funny dreams when I went out there. He took the weak type, I took the strong type, rebuked the side effects. He got malaria and nearly died. And I was going around Africa on my own with a note saying, you know, Peter's like got malaria and like I'm the evangelist, but and they were saying, well, you'll have to teach the pastors as well. So I'm preaching sometimes 5 times a day. That is in prisons, that is at funerals, that is in churches, that is at youth clubs, that is on the street, that is even preaching in a slaughterhouse. You know, the Christian fellowship in a slaughterhouse. Yeah, you know? And I get back and start telling these stories, and they were like, do you think Toby's making it up? You know? And he says, you couldn't make stories like these up. You know? So I seen God moving, and when I was in Kampala, we were going to this meeting, and I saw this crowd. Well, I'm an ex sort of street trader type. So I sees the crowd, and I'm like, oi, oi, might be something cheap here, you know? So I pushes through the crowd, and there's a guy lying in the dust, and he's been sick. And so I said to, you know, then there's a crowd, and there's the radio there, and the newspapers are taking photographs of him. So I said, well, why is nobody helping him? They said, oh, the guy's dead. So I was like, goodness me. And I'd never ever seen a dead person before. And I kind of like thought, goodness me. And then the girl who was with, she pushed through, what's happened to this guy? I said, oh, he's dead. She went, goodness me. And I goes, I'm getting involved. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know, but I'm getting involved. So I went forward, got down on my knees and started praying, rebuke the spirit of death, you shall not die but live, and declare, prayed in tongues, everything I could think of. And then I stood up and sort of went to the crowd, well, at least, you know, I've tried to do something. And stepped back, and all of a sudden the bloke sat up, and everyone went, whoa! I was the most shocked person. And I was like, yeah, thank you, Lord. And I was like, goodness me. And then from the back of the crowd, you hear, Dougie, what are you doing? We're going to be late for the meeting. And I'm out of the meeting. Give him something to eat. And I thought, what do you do with a guy who's just come back from the dead, you know? Give him something to eat, give him something to drink. Right, I've got to go, and I just kind of went. And then 3 days later, it was like somebody was saying before, it was in the paper, the story, you know? And I was like, goodness me, it happened. Sometimes you think, did this really happen? And when you're in Africa, you time after time, is this really happening? The things that God does, obviously, because it's a spiritual, different dimension. I call it Planet Africa. So if you've never been to Africa and you're an evangelist, go there. It's more like it was when Jesus was going around doing the miracles. Because, you know, you just look at Oxford Street and you look at Leicester Square and all that, and then you read what you read, what you read in the Bible. In Bible, in Oxford Street, it doesn't seem to be the same. But you go to Africa, and I saw over 1,000 people saved in Africa, and all sorts of things. I could go on forever.
Praise the Lord. Something soft. You choose the music. If God can use Dougie March because he called him and cleansed him, God can use Dougie March. God can use you. But he can't use you unless you're meat for his use. And you cannot be meat for his use until you let him cleanse you. Amen? If God can save Dougie March, there's nobody in this room that is beyond his reach. And I believe he's reaching to you if you're here today. I believe he's reaching whatever you choose. Just something sweet. Something as sweet as you can find, because God is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Some of you have been in church for years, and you got to be very cautious. I caution you, if you are so satisfied that you're just a dispenser of information to others, there's a time for you. You. Whether you're a minister or not, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in your personal walk with Christ. You have revelations. I'm not interested in that. God is interested in your personal walk with him. Is there anything in your life that he can put his finger on today? Or have you eliminated your life from his scrutiny? Amen? That's the question. Your life is so pristine. You are so mature. You are never convicted. There's no attitude or activity that needs to be changed to be more like your master. See, the Bible said when you go into his house, listen to me carefully. This is the word. This is in your Bible. When you go into his house, be more ready to hear than to speak. Some people come in his house just to tell others, never to listen and let God work in them. They become stagnant. They become wherever they are, that's as far as they'll ever go. Because they won't surrender to the Holy Spirit or apply the word to themselves. So I'm not interested in how long you've been saved. I'm interested in where you are in relation to God and his will for your life today. I'm not interested in your anointing or your revelation. Someone is. I'm not today, not now, not here in this holy moment. God's interest is, can he do anything else to cleanse your heart and your life? So he can do what? Bring forth what? More fruit. Every fruit-bearing branch he purges. And I'm still going through it. I got saved at 12 years old, backslid, came back to God at 21. And God has been purging me ever since, Brother Taylor. And he's not through with me, and I have not arrived. And there are times when I hear the word on radio or tape or wherever it is, and I just stop what I'm doing. I have pulled over. If I had time between an appointment to pull, I pulled over in a parking lot of a convenience store. Closed out everything else and sit and listen to the end of that sermon and let that word wash me. Amen. Some people can't wait to get out of church. When I got saved, I couldn't wait to get in church. Hallelujah. get off at 7:30, get home at 8 o'clock, get ready, go to church. Because I went to a Pentecostal church, and honey, it was just getting cranked up by then. Hallelujah. They were just getting cranked up. But it wasn't just the emotion. It wasn't just that praise and worship that continued. It was the Word of God that did the work in my heart and the work in my life. God is so good today. There's no one here that God can't reach. And the call, they that were with Him, and you got to make up your mind where you're going to be, who you're going to stand with. Sooner or later, it comes to a line in the sand, and you have to make a choice. The ancient question was asked, who is on the Lord's side among you? The immediate answer is, of course, I like Him. He's fine. I'm with the Lord. No, you have to come and cross a line and take a stand. He said, who is on the Lord's side? Let them gather unto me. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other, or you will hate one and love the other. But you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and self-indulgence simultaneously. It's biblically, spiritually, practically impossible. And if all the Christians that are on the fence would get off the fence, there would be a Holy Ghost revival in that life, in that family, in that home, in that church. Can you say amen? And hell couldn't hold it back, because hell can't stop him when he's moving freely like he wants to move. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it begins with a call to salvation. That call is found throughout all of Scripture. And God would not close the book at the last chapter, the last few verses of the last chapter of the Bible itself, the book of Revelation, is a call. No one will miss heaven because they were not called. They will miss heaven because they chose light over darkness and did not respond to the call to be saved. That scripture says, the Spirit says, here's the call, come. And the bride says, that's the body of Christ. They say, their message is the same, inviting people to Jesus, come. And the church, the whole message of the church is, come. And he that heareth says, come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. Can you say amen? With every head bowed just for a moment. Is there anyone in this room, and God is calling you through the gospel and by His Spirit to come to Christ and have your sins forgiven today? Anyone in this room, you would just lift up your hand and just let something play softly, if you will. Keep our focus just for a few more minutes. This is where spiritual warfare really heats up. Because this is where souls hang in the balance. If you died today, not because of a wreck, maybe you're not driving, maybe you're not going to be on the road, but because a little blood vessel ruptures in your head, and that's it. The heart stops, the life stops, but the spirit goes on, and it heads somewhere forever. The supreme issue is the souls of men and women. Do you know where you would go? Is religion without relationship enough to give you complete confidence and consolation? Let that play. It's good. It's good. Is there anyone in this room, say, Pastor Venable, I can't change myself, tried and failed, but I believe God can change me, and it all begins by repenting of my sin and receiving Jesus Christ. May I see your hand? I want Jesus in my life. Anybody else? Thank God for these hands. Anyone else? Anyone else? While God is calling. While God is calling. While God is calling. Would you come? Everybody Jesus called. He did it publicly. So with every head raised and every eye open. He said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you when my Father comes with his angels. But if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And these are people I assume are Christian, but coming back. That's your situation. That's fine. Anybody here that has been away, you've been following Jesus afar off, and he's called you up close and personal today. Hallelujah. Would you come? Stretch your hand this way. If you have to leave, leave reverently as God moves in lives here today. This is what church is all about. It's not about all the trappings of religion. It's about God moving in people's lives. God calling. God cleansing. God's going to use you. Hallelujah. Whom he calls, he cleanses. Whom he cleanses, he uses. Hallelujah. 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 There's a guy that plays the trumpet. You know his name. Phil Driscoll. And he just plays unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. It's not that he outplays some jazz band in New Orleans. But he plays unto the Lord. And there have been people healed while he was just playing. People have come to Christ while he was just worshiping with his instrument. God calls, God cleanses, and then God uses. And this is a mighty harvest. Hallelujah. And God is called, and God is cleansing, and God is going to use your life. Hallelujah. It's going to be like a, I don't know how to describe it, just what I'm seeing. It's not something you have to seek and find. He is moving already. It's like a current in a stream. And you're going to find yourself going and being exactly where God wants to take you because you're surrendering. You're surrendering. You're surrendering. And there's going to be purpose and power in your life. Hallelujah. And you're going to see every twist and every turn. You're going to see the hand of the Lord in it. You're not going to meander aimlessly, but with power and purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. Whom he calls, he cleanses. Whom he cleanses, he fills and uses. Can you say, Umaba, Sandadaba Roshalamada, Selabakatia, Ondedabasala? Father, I thank you for raising up people. Handanaba Sholabakitia, hallelujah, that are going to touch other people for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Young man, you coming back or first time? Coming back, that's what I assumed, but I wanted to clarify. Hallelujah. What made you want to get closer to God? Do you feel something? I know I can't convince you with mere words, but the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And God has called you, and you answered the call to salvation. Now he's cleansing, and you're answering the call to cleansing. And you have an edge that I don't have, because people look at a 67-year-old preacher and say, yeah, fine for him, but I'm young and youthful and full of life, and oh yeah, he can just live this restricted kind. No, this is not restricted. There's this real freedom today. Hallelujah. Father, who you call, you cleanse, and he's come for cleansing today. And whom that you cleanse, you use. Lord, I want you to take away all the fears from his life. All of that would torment him. Fear hath torment, but perfect love cast out all fear. Father, I praise you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the statement, it is finished, it is accomplished. What he needed to save his soul has already been done by the one who hung on that cross. And when he received him, he was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the very day of redemption. Hallelujah. And now I ask that not only he be sealed by the Spirit, but that he be filled with the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. Hallelujah. While I was here last night with no place to go, I just walked around the property, walked around the building, and I prayed that God would save, that God would deliver, and that God would fill with the Holy Spirit, and that God would heal, and that God would set free in the name of Jesus for his honor and for his glory. Fill my brother. Fill him up, Lord. Hallelujah. Make him a vessel of honor fit for the master to use, and give him the power to overcome and the peace to stand his ground in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and give him praise in this room. This is one of those too long services they're talking about that we just don't have time to invest in. God has the time to invest in you and in me. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Jesus, it's worth it all. It's worth it all.
To know the lasting joy, even sharing in your
cleansing. Cleansing. It's for cleansing. It's for cleansing. It's for cleansing. As we surrender to him as the Lord of our life. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's called us. He's cleansing us. He's going to use us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's purging us that we might be fruitful unto him. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. He's going to raise up an army. Hallelujah. He's going to raise up an army. And they're not all going to be like me. He's going to raise up young Davids and young Deborahs today. He's going to set them apart and keep them from the evil one. He's going to sanctify them. He's going to keep them. Here's what Jesus said, and this is what he prayed before he left. He said, Father, I pray that you do not take them out of the world. We're the only witness. We're the salt and we're the light down here. We're the hope that people need because we can show them the way to Christ. Amen. Father, don't take them out of the world yet, but keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the evil one. Hanamama Hosanna Selaba Rosha Lamarana Hanamaka Selaba. Fill her with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. She has the will to follow you. Give her the power to do it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Baba Bahasata. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Oh, yes, there it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. Thank you. Praise him. Praise him right now. Out of your belly. Not your head, but out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Give him praise. Give him praise. Oh, don't wait on anything else. He's come. He's come. He's come. Praise him. Praise him. Oh, yes, that's it. That's the power of God. That's him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be no more conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Hallelujah. 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 God is working in your life. Make no mistake about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You started a walk with Christ. You've been challenged. And you want to win this battle. And you know you need God's help and God's power to do it. Hallelujah. We stand surrendered before you, Lord. We surrender our will. We surrender our lives to you. And in this place of surrender, the power of God comes so mightily to help us to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. These three great enemies that we face, we're no match in ourselves, but we do not fight. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Though that we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If God can deliver Dougie March, set him free and change him from the inside out. Hallelujah. God can deliver you, young man. Change you from the inside out today. Cleanse you. Sanctify you. Set you apart unto himself. And use you for his honor and his glory. But right now, don't think about what you're going to do for him. But think about what he's going to do in you. In the name of Jesus. 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 There's power. There's victory. Hallelujah. We plead the blood of Jesus over this young man. Oh, Father, we put the name of Jesus between him and the adversary. In the name of Jesus. And everywhere that he's weak, by the power of your Holy Spirit, shore him up and make him strong in you. And in the power of your might, let him put on your armor, Father, and the tide of battle will turn in the name of Jesus. Submit yourself unto God. He's doing it right now. And then resist the devil. Hallelujah. From full surrender. And he has no choice, no alternative. He shall flee from you. He shall flee from you. I want you to get ready to get a good look at the back side of Satan, not coming against you anymore, but running from you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Fill him, Lord, today. Fill him up and run him over in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there's victory. There's victory. Hallelujah. Don't look back. Don't consider going back. Don't be discouraged. The Lord goes before you, son. Hallelujah. In this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome it. Robbed it of power to harm you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. If you have to go, leave reverently. Thank you for coming today. Let's just worship him. Let's just worship him. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody in here needs to do this. You're going to go home and forget this service. You're going to go home and go right back into the same routine if you don't do something about this challenge today. You're going to live out your life indulging yourself just like the world about you, aging, trying to find what only God can reveal to you. I wouldn't leave this room without Jesus as the Lord of my life. But then I'm not you, and you're not me. He wants to thank the Lord. This call is still here to someone. Last week, God delivered him from a seizure. Thank you, Linda. Thank you for laying hands on him. I wasn't out here, but the power of God's not just vested in me, but in you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Thank God for delivering my brother from a seizure last week, right here in our midst. And thank God for this man, that God keeps calling and God keeps pulling toward himself. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I could try to go back and drag him down here. He's dealing with him, right? Yes. Yeah. Okay, confusion. I said that last week. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. With that arm. Yeah.
This arm ain't hurting no more.
Hallelujah. Somebody give him a praise out here. Yeah. God has done it. God has done it. God has done it just like he said. Would you play that from the beginning again? God is right here. Right. Thank God. Isn't that wonderful? Right, let's do it. Father, this man wants to be totally free. He wants it to be completed. He that began a good work in you, the scripture said he will complete it. He doesn't start something that he doesn't intend to finish. He that begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, I praise you for it. I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And for the glory of God. Heal him completely. Hallelujah. And take away all the confusion. Lead him in a plain path. For the glory of God. Hallelujah. Josh, God is calling others. Josh, I know the battles have been strong. When I was your age, they were strong for me, even as a young Christian. The battles with temptation were strong. You know something? I thought that I could outgrow spiritually temptations, and I found out years and years and years later that I had to come to Christ, say, Jesus, I'm drawn, I'm pulled. Lord, I need your grace. I need your strength. I need your forgiveness. I need your love to undergird me. I need you to lift me from the miry clay. Put my feet on that rock today. Jesus, I come. Just as I am without one plea, still breaks my heart. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bids me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. So Josh, I'm standing with you. Not above you, looking down on you. I'm standing beside you at the foot of the cross. Both of us are looking up to the one who bled that he might forgive us and save us, sanctify us, set us apart from this old world and from Satan's influence unto himself, so he can keep us, seal us with the Holy Spirit. Mark us and brand us as his own. Oh, Josh, this is my prayer, that as you open your heart fully, that you open the door and swing it wide, that Christ would do just what he promised. I will come in and sup with you, and you with me. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I praise you for my brother. We stand as brothers, not as pastor and sheep, but we stand as brothers on equal ground at the foot of the cross, and we surrender. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Keep us from the evil one in the name of Jesus, and give us the victory. Hallelujah. Over the things that the enemy would use against us, for the glory of God, we come apart unto you today. Hallelujah. Sanctify and cleanse us, O God, for your honor, for your glory. I appreciate you, my brother. Hallelujah. God is raising up an army. Make no mistake about it. Hallelujah. This guy's too strong for me to drag down here. God has to do these things. Hallelujah. And he's calling. He's calling. Feel it. Do you sense it today? What do you want him to do? Yes. Yes. You know something? When the church cries for holiness. In Isaiah chapter 6, there was an encounter with the presence of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I went into the temple to worship. And when I got into the temple, the glory of God filled it. It filled it wall to wall. His train filled the temple. He said, I saw ministering angels, seraphim. They had three sets of wings each, and with three they did cover their faces, and three they covered their feet, and with the other two, rather, they flew and moved about. And in that presence, he cried for holiness. He said, woe is me. A God-called prophet that God put his hand on as a major prophet. Picked him among all the people to speak for him. He cleansed him so he could use him. He called him, cleansed him. Everybody say cleansed him, and that's what's happening here today. And he cried for that cleansing so God could grant it. He won't override us, overrule us, but he'll respond to the heart cry to be clean before our God and our King. He said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. God said, I can fix that. I can fix that. I know you're a fallen man in a fallen world, but I can fix that. An angel came to the altar, took a coal from the altar before his very throne. He took that live coal and touched it to Isaiah's lips. Isaiah said, who shall go for us? God said, who shall go for us? Because he wants to cleanse and use. Who shall I send? Amen. It's those people crying for holiness. Those people who want to be clean. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? He said, here am I, Lord. Hallelujah. I've confessed my weaknesses, my sins before you. Here am I. Send me. Here am I, I'll go. Won't cut it with God. But here am I, send me, is what he's looking for. Hallelujah. And when we cry, Lord, I want this stronghold in my life to come down. Hell has no choice. Satan has no more influence. Every stronghold. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Watch your clothes. The Spirit of God's come on right now. Hallelujah. Sanda Bresholoboko Sanda Dabaritia. Handa Dabaroke. Sanda Dabarotada. Salama. Eke. Solaba. In some of us, it's a stronghold of bitterness. Some, it's unforgiveness. Some, there's just so many things it can be. But it doesn't matter to God. It will fall before him. Hallelujah. Our body is his temple. He lays claim on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He lays claim on it. He lays umamasa sela barote dana masilia kela barosha lamana ketana nana mahosata. As we submit unto God, we resist the devil from full surrender, and he has no choice. He flees from us. Instead of seeing him coming against you, you're going to get a look at the backside of Satan. One of you shall chase a thousand. Two of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Hallelujah. 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 And in place of that stronghold, God is building a keep. God is building a fortress. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. His anointing breaks every yoke, regardless. Hallelujah. What a mighty God and King that we do serve. Can you say amen today? Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just praise him. He's moving here. If you have to go, you may. We won't be angry at you in any sense. Hallelujah. I didn't come to make you stay here. I came on business for God.